Good evening. You are listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Bahe Yusuf, Julian Yap and Ian McNally. And today is the 40th anniversary of, some would say, a very seminal film.
Where's Earth?
Seems we have intercepted a transmission of unknown origin.
Human.
Unknown.
Can you see this?
I've never seen anything like it.
How do we kill it?
You can't.
Oh, God, it's moving right towards you. Move, get out of there.
So, of course, we are talking about Alien, Ridley Scott's Alien, which has proven to be really influential over the years. Although in this room, I think everyone accepts its greatness, but there are mixed sentiments. Let's leave it at that. So let's talk about who loves it. Why do you love it? Let's go with that.
Ian?
Standing here wearing the Alien t-shirt.
Wearing the US Nostromo t-shirt.
It's just something that I actually saw Aliens first, I have to admit that. But when I saw the first one, there's just nothing else like it. Rewatching it again recently, the whole setup and everything, it doesn't feel quite like a science. I mean, it's obviously a science fiction movie, but it doesn't feel like you're watching a science fiction movie. It doesn't feel like you're watching a horror movie. If it was made today, there are so many opportunities for more jump scares that they don't take advantage of. They prefer just to build up this team of people on this ship hanging out together. I love the design of pretty much everything in this movie. Most of the work came around because Dan O'Bannon had worked on the failed adaptation of Jodorowsky's Dune movie. So he'd met Chris Foss, and H.R. Giger and a few other artists, and Mobius worked on little bits of this as well, I think, designed the alien spacesuits. But they all work together, even though they're very different things. Ron Cobb does these really weird... The crew quarters itself, I just love it. The design of it, the slightly faded white kind of leather on the walls, the doors, the nodding ducks that they have on the table. Everything feels incredibly lived in, and everyone looks like they're just wearing hospital scrubs. It's like the real glamour of space travel.
So I read an article a couple of days ago where they interviewed Ridley Scott looking back at the movie and all that. And one of the things he said he wanted to do was because he had just watched Star Wars had just come out. And obviously the other sort of seminal film about space was Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey. And he said he didn't want either of those movies. Mm. He didn't want a fantasy Star Wars, and he didn't want the clean future of the 2001 Space Odyssey. Basically what he wanted was space travel where it's just a space freighter.
I think he called it Truckers in Space.
Yeah. So these guys are wearing faded old shirts. They're not even buttoned up. It's dirty. It's grimy. It's a truck.
Yeah. And yeah. Harry Dean Stanton and Yaphet Kotto are constantly moaning about their wages. That's pretty much most of their dialogue. And it just adds all this texture before you even get to the aliens.
So I think it's really interesting that Bahir brought up Stanley Kubrick, because rewatching Alien just in preparation for this, I just thought, this film has no business being this pretty. It really doesn't need to be this pretty at all. And then Kubrick especially, just very beautifully crafted. It doesn't need to be, but it can be. And then you see the influence of that later in like Steven Spielberg and in sci-fi specifically. So, you know, going back to what you asked, and then... I just love Alien because the first time I watched it, I was just blown away from just by how pretty it was. I thought it was the film that made me want to do something in film for the rest of my life, because I thought if I could have some sort of career where I make something or see something this beautiful all the time, that's what I want to do.
I don't want to be the person who harshes the buzz of the show, because I respect and get that it's a really huge film for a lot of people, but I think I just kind of fell in between the right time to watch it. Mm. So I was too young when it first came out. So when I did watch it for the first time, I was too young, you know, because my parents were watching it probably irresponsibly. And so, you know, there I was like, what is happening? Yeah. Why am I watching these monsters? Why is everything gray? So I could not appreciate the prettiness of it. Mm. And then by the time I got round to the age where I would have watched it because, you have to watch this. This is a must-see film. You know, it's influenced so many different things. By then, I had become set in my ways and I did not like horror. Mm. So, you know, I get it. I understand why I should like it. I get that Sigourney Weaver is, you know, amazing. I understand all the things that make it amazing. I just can't get there in my heart of hearts, but I'm very happy to hear you guys liking it.
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, again, watching the movies again is just I have to watch this again.
But you can appreciate the craft, right? I mean,
I can appreciate the craft. But here's the thing. That's the funny thing, right? I'd rather read articles about the making of the movie and interviews with Ridley Scott and the designer and H.R. Giger and all these things and the behind-the-scenes stuff than actually watch the movie.
Same.
Because it shouldn't have worked. The script was originally called Star Beast.
Yes, I heard
like,
about
it. It just sounds like every schlocky sci-fi horror movie you've ever heard of. Yeah. You know, they made every right decision. Every decision they made was the right one. Like they built the sets in huge chunks. So if you wanted to get from one end to the other, you had to go through the set. Mm. So that gives everything an incredibly lived-in feel. Having a completely different designer for the alien than everything else makes it completely stand out. And we haven't even talked about Geiger's creature, which is just, I mean, it's hard to come up with a new type of horror thing that is unique and doesn't look like it's ripping off something. And he really hit the nail perfectly on the head with that, I think.
And I think even just the naming of the thing, you know, it's not just, oh, the alien from Jupiter.
Yeah.
It's not a Mars thing. We don't know.
It's alien.
Yes. It's sure.
That exact level of uncertainty is the reason why I could never get comfortable with it. I think I just... It's too much for me. That's basically what it comes down to, which is a credit to the film, I think. You know, the fact that it is so overwhelming, the fact that it is so tense. I mean, like, where my experience with Alien lies is in sort of my movie trailer version of it. Mm. I can see very clearly certain scenes from the film, and they're indelible. You know, a mouth opening, saliva hanging. You know, like, just things like that. It's forever in my head.
Yeah.
And that's good, but you know,
that's all you need. Yeah,
you can appreciate it. Leave it on the shelf. I don't want to watch it again.
I really don't think I will ever. You know, but I'm really happy it exists.
Yeah. For the people who really enjoy it, like Julie.
Yeah, that's really interesting because every time I watch it, I have to stop myself from watching it because
you don't want it to get too.
And I try to limit it to maybe once a year. But every time I watch it, I find something new. I do have to be in the right mindset. I have to want to be tense, and I want to hold my breath. I want to see what's going to happen because it plays on all of your senses when you're watching it.
I never want to feel like that. I don't know what
Same.
You're talking about.
Exactly.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
And it's that one day a year when you want to
this,
do that.
It's something that you mentioned earlier, Lynn, and in a previous episode. This isn't a world I want to be in, so I never want to watch this world.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't feel as if I want to be a space trucker. I'm fine not being that.
It sucks.
That's the thing. It has the same, you know, like... That level of griminess, that level of being hunted through a ship, like, I think partly also I've seen it in other films since, which of course are following on from the Alien template, right?
Yeah.
Which of course have echoes of it all the way through. And the echoes are the things about those films that make me feel tense, and therefore working backwards, I'm like, nah.
Although it's kind of hard to look at the chest burster in the same light once you've seen it singing and dancing in Spaceballs.
Yeah, true. I mean, for me, I love reading about how difficult it was to do that, right? How they wanted to surprise the cast, how they tried to do it one way and then it wouldn't quite burst through the shirt.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott had to chase everybody out of the room. They had to prick. I love knowing that. I just don't want to watch the movie
anymore.
And
the fact that Nancy Cartwright got covered in so much blood. Yeah. Everyone else is pristine.
It's green,
and she's covered in blood from head to toe and screaming.
Also, just like every time I watch it, I forget how young John Hurt was probably once.
He was 39 in that.
No, I know, but he looks like a child.
Yeah. I've seen that clip again since, right? Because post John Hurt's passing, I think a lot of people were talking about that. And when I saw it again, I was like, which one's John? What the hell?
Yeah.
And then so at the same time, you have Ian Holm, who looks exactly the same as he does when he's Bilbo.
He was 48 at the time.
Some people just have those faces. Bono has looked 50 since he was 20. So it's just one of those things.
He's done,
But it was a plus point in the film's favor when it came out because it wasn't... Standard horrors would be teenagers at camp.
Mm.
And I think Sigourney Weaver's 29 is the youngest on the cast. Everyone else is in their 40s. And it kind of sells that idea that it's not quite a horror when you're beginning it because it takes a long time to get there.
Yeah.
We are talking today about Alien because it is the 40th anniversary, and we have also opened it up to you, and you've sent through. So on the bright side, Julian, Ian, people love it. So we'll get to more people who love Alien after this. You are listening to Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, this is Skip Intro with Lynn, Julian, Bahe and Ian. Today we're talking about Alien because it is the 40th anniversary of the film. And it is a hugely influential film, one that's been called a masterpiece. In the room, mixed sentiments, literally 50-50. But we did open it up and ask you what you thought. And here are some of the messages. You can keep sending them through, by the way. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at SkipIntroMY. Write us at movies@bfm.my. So let's start off with... Well, Nigel says, absolutely awesome movie. So there we go. And then we also have a message from Cal who says, truly a masterpiece, perfect synchronicity of cinematography, acting, music, design, lighting. What saddens me is the enigma of that first discovery by Dallas Kane and Lambert of the mummified space jockey has been significantly watered down by Prometheus and Alien Covenant. Fun fact, Harry Dean Stanton also appeared in The Avengers as the security guard who found Bruce Banner after he fell from the helicarrier, asking Bruce, are you an alien?
Okay, this is probably going to get me thrown out of the room. But I didn't mind Prometheus and or Covenant.
Yes. Me neither.
Yeah. You know what it is? I wanted to know more about the architect and all those giant people. I wanted to know what their story was. I didn't think the movie told me all those things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I grant that. But I want to see more of those guys. I want to know what that backstory is. But,
and I think maybe we feel that way partly because we don't have that tie to Alien as strongly where you're like, oh, you're ruining everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, instead
I don't
like,
need to know where these guys come from.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's different.
So for me, well, I mean, Alien's my favorite film of all time. And it's gorgeous in its simplicity. But I also want to open that world up. And I didn't... Prometheus feels separate for me. I do want to know more about it. I want to know where how we got there, especially the jockey. But just because how different the film is stylistically, I don't count it as the same thing.
Right.
Covenant I love because Covenant is essentially two films. You can do supercuts of how one is a pure homage to the first film and the other one is Prometheus 2. And it's based, I mean, the story is too big for Ridley Scott even to put into a film himself.
Well,
he's too ambitious.
It seems what they've done, he's announced again that he's going to do a third one, but it seems what he's just trying to do is propagate fraud on the studio because he's saying he's doing an Alien movies, but he's only interested in talking about the AIs like Michael Fassbender's character. He thinks everything's been... He mentioned something about we've done everything we can with the Alien. I want to explore the AI side of things, which would be fine. I just wish he'd just do that on its own. I mean, it's probably hard to get the money if he just says, but if I put Alien on, I get extra $10 million, right?
Right.
I mean, I completely understand. You know, you've created at the start of your career what a lot of people say is the first and best sci-fi film. Of course, he wants to open up that world, tell the story that he actually wants to tell, and he can't. And I mean, male directors really don't need more money and don't need so many chances to get their story on film. But if Ridley Scott wants to keep telling his Alien story as much as he can, I kind of don't mind.
On the other hand, Jeremiah says, in my opinion, whatever stories that needed to be told has been told. 8 movies in, it has run its course.
Eight? I'm sorry, have I been asleep for like 10 years? Has it been 8? Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it was also the series that brought us the word quadrilogy when it comes to box sets.
Oh, geez, Louise. Okay, sorry, go on.
I think because I feel, because I was quite intrigued by Prometheus and then kind of, by Covenant, I'm willing to go with a 9th. You know, I'm willing to kind of see like where the takes me.
Let's see where this goes.
I mean, there's a lot of like hand over eye stuff. I watched basically half of Prometheus like just like
the
curled up into a ball.
It's frustrating. It's like, hey, I'm a xenobiologist. What's this? Let me poke it with my fingers and my face. Never poke alien life forms with your face. I think they should have learned that from the previous movies.
You never know. But then it led to a lot of nice discoveries, I guess.
Yeah, and one thing again that he's maintained, I mean, if you ever see any behind-the-scenes stuff of Ridley Scott, he does his little kind of sketches.
Yeah.
Ridleygrams are exquisite. And the look of Prometheus, the ship itself and everything, and then even going on to Covenant, he still maintains, he gets the best designers to do
stuff.
There's
still great sci-fi films.
And that's an interesting point, because one of the things I read was the fact that when Alien was first being commissioned, the budget was about $4 million.
Mm.
So he then went away, spent about 2 months just breaking down the script and drawing down everything. When he went back to the studio, they gave him $8 million.
Yeah.
So they doubled his budget based on just his drawings and his sort of his Ridleygrams. And I think that sort of shows his vision of it, right? Even from very early on. He didn't write the script. He got the script from someone.
Dan O'Bannon, yeah.
Yeah, so he got the script. So it wasn't... The fact that he was able to do all that from a script that he didn't write is quite something.
Even something like The Space Jockey, like they didn't... They were challenging him on that. And Geiger's a weird guy. He used real bones in that thing.
Really?
Yeah, he's kind of creepy. But like that whole thing was like also half a set built so they could spin it to make more. Yep. Like budget was an issue. But come back to what you were saying earlier about those other aliens. I love the fact that we didn't get any answers for 20 years. It was like this was this thing and it was just unexplained in the movie. You don't find out at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
You don't find out anything essentially where these things come from. And it's like it's a spaceship they were on. It's not like they're from that planet. So it's just this mystery. And, you know, the biggest question was followed up in the next one, which was where did the eggs come from?
Mm. And lastly, a lot of people pointing out how horrifying it is. And just to finish off, we have one from Johanna Fendi on Twitter saying, I remember it as my earliest exposure to horror in a science fiction setting, being used to Star Trek and all. Never thought aliens could be as scary as the Xenomorph. And it was so suspenseful because they only revealed the aliens' now iconic appearance towards the end. Also, I was baffled why my parents covered my eyes during one part, only found out years later it was due to Sigourney Weaver's tiny space underwear. It seems to me that other things in that movie could have been reason to cover your children's eyes.
Just other important things as well.
I can't remember if it was he pointed out or someone else pointed out about the fact that the end of the movie when she's in the shuttle and the alien's sitting in the wall behind her for like 5 minutes and you've no idea it's there because it's just its domed head up against the wall. It just looks like a pipe.
Right.
When you don't know it's there, it's terrifying. When you know it's there, it's terrifying.
And this is, you know, going back to what you said earlier, every decision in this film feels like it's deliberate.
Hmm.
You know, every set decision is that feels that it's there to build something for sci-fi is actually there to build something for horror. And like the fact that they work for both is incredible. And I think it just shows how beautifully crafted this film is.
We have been spending our show today tributing in many ways, I suppose, Alien, because it is the 40th anniversary of the film. If you have any thoughts, if you have any favorite memories attached to it, send them through. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at SkipIntroMY. And of course, you can always write about this or anything else on your mind to movies@bfm.my. You've been listening today to Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.